Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Here was our assignment. The world is so full of possibilities that dogmatism is simply indecent. What an astounding point of clarification. The world is so full of possibilities. If we consider there is only one of everything, every single thing is the center of the universe. Comparison is a silly illusion. There is no such thing as a self that is separate from life. This is a non-separate reality. And yet, the voices of egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, want us to focus on a single point of view, it, and believe that that opinion is irrefutable, eternal truth. What nonsense. Indecent is a good description of such a pathetically limited orientation to life. Today, embrace decency as you choose possible over puny, petty, and paltry opinions. Record and listen. All right, let's hear from our first caller. First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, dear.
Hello?
In Menlo. Hello?
I heard hello?
This is Margaret in Menlo Park.
Ah, great. We heard Menlo. And we were closing in on you.
I unmuted. Well, never mind. I'm here.
You're here. We're here.
Yes, we are. And I'm so grateful for this program and for, you know, showing up, for being here.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved just that phrasing of the puny, paltry, pathetic, or whatever it was at the end, because it's the perspective on the whole thing that I, on its opinions.
Yeah. Yeah. Ego is so right and righteous and certain.
Yeah.
On the yay or nay side of things, right? I mean, it can be just as certain that you are a useless waste of life force as you're the most wonderful thing that ever happened to humanity. It's just as certain.
Yes. Yes, and I don't know, for a while I've been looking at this question of what is the most important, what is what I really want? Because a women's group that I give to had sent that out as a question to answer for them so that they could pass it on, I think, to the government. And for some reason that just really struck me as what matters the most to me?
Mm-hmm.
And I
bet it wasn't on the list.
Well, they didn't give a list.
Ah, because very often those kinds of
they
things
send
do.
Out, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
and
I don't
it's
like
all of the political things, and you may say, yes, that's most important, yes, that's most important, yes, that's most important, but there's an overarching most important, isn't there, that doesn't get on the list, like kindness and
yes.
Empathy and
compassion. Trust of people with other opinions could be possible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or seeing them as the human being that they are so that we could go forward.
Yes, yes. Well, if we could all see opinions for what they are, then we would, we could all join the campaign to let them all go. And then once we did that, what would the world look like and how would we want to take the next steps?
Yeah, it seems like that's kind of rare to happen.
I think so. It doesn't seem to be a big part of this plane of existence, does it?
No.
No, but once in a while, we have somebody with a perspective, like the quote, that brings us back to, no matter how popular ego's obsession with its own opinions is, it still doesn't make it real or true.
No, and in doing this practice, I get to see how much suffering has happened just in this being over that.
Yes. Yeah.
And wanting to end that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's challenging, isn't it? That's why I got so fired up about the conscious, compassionate action thing, because again, I just heard somebody say yesterday, but somebody who's really in a position to make a difference says, you know, mm-hmm. I just gave up on the news. It's just so depressing. Well, how mm-hmm. do you stay in touch with what's going on in the world so that conscious, compassionate awareness has an opportunity to inform without losing
yes.
sight of unconditional love? How can we, and this is to me what you're pointing at, how can we take advantage of what's going on around us to assist us to choose unconditional love? Not to turn
yeah.
away and say, oh, you know, these opinions are so different from mine, I can't stand it. I have difficulty clinging to my opinions in the face of these opposing opinions. So I just don't
yeah.
want to cling anymore because those opinions seem to be winning. But can we use all of
can
that as a workshop to step beyond it?
Yeah. I know, and I think years ago, when you mentioned something in practice to us about working for something that you want rather than against something you don't want.
Yes.
Put your energy into something you want to have manifest, basically.
Yes.
And,
knowing
and that, was,
that knowing that the process is the outcome, right? Because that's
yeah.
the world we want to live in, where we're really putting our whole heart and soul into, for us, loving kindness.
Yes. And I think I don't know, I just, what arises is just widening the circle of acceptance.
Yes, exactly so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As we see more clearly how we get stuck, we can see how everybody gets stuck. And
yes.
then we want the same compassion for everybody that we want for ourselves.
Yes, I do feel that, actually, that,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's so humbling when I see it here,
mm-hmm.
how foolish
yeah.
or how puny,
and
paltry.
When we don't feel bad about it, then
right.
we really are in a position to say, okay, I want compassion for all of us. That's what I'm going for, compassion for all of us. Not
and you know,
feel bad that I lack it and try to find
yeah.
out how they lack it, and then do I lack it less than they lack it, and oh my gosh.
And okay. you know, there's something, I think this is why I like dance so much, dancing, is because it feels like that's something that could be brought to bear in these situations, that just to wake people up and knock them off that point there. That little, their stand, their whatever
yeah.
it is that's not allowing them to see.
Yeah. Well, I just had this vision, and then we do have to go. I just had this vision of protests from now on involving dance.
Yeah. Because, yeah. That works for me.
Yeah,
so
I think we need to start a movement.
Yeah, that's right.
Uh-huh.
How can we turn it into a celebration of life and what's
yeah.
possible?
Yeah, here
yeah.
we are all together, like-minded, like-hearted, wanting this for the world, all right, let's dance. And we can still chant. We can chant while we dance. I like
That's
it.
Great.
Let's do that.
All right.
Thank you, Margaret.
Thank you so much for Project Joy, everyone.
Oh, yeah. It's a pleasure, isn't it?
Yes. Thank you, and see you soon.
See you soon. All right. We're coming to your hometown.
That's right. Thank you for that.
All righty.
All right.
Now. Till then. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Thanks, Margaret. I love that. Put your attention on what you want in the world rather than against what you don't want in the world. It brings me back to one of my favorite things you've ever said to me. It was, I think, during precepts. Practice can be a divorce from ego or a love affair with life.
We know which one we want, huh?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
Because that divorce from ego is usually a long, painful, brutal process that may never end. So we might as well just drop that and start our love affair with life. I like it.
Yeah, well, yes. And, you know, Sherry, the two things that drop in about that. One, the focus of attention becomes on conditioning, right? It's not that divorce from ego, but the love affair with life is such an expanded awareness place, which actually has a different, it's a different orientation.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Completely.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, different.
It's a larger, it's an expanded awareness place with the focus of attention being on that quality of awareness rather than struggling against something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I was trying to articulate that in a different way, but I don't seem to be able to.
Yeah. I think we're getting there, though.
Okay, good. Here's someone else. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Michael in California.
Hello, Michael.
Hello, Sherry.
Hey, Michael.
Hi, Ashwini. I enjoyed that conversation, and especially that last part there, the sense I was getting was that sort of when I'm first starting practice, I need to know what the conditioning is to become aware of the self-talk and the self-hate. And as I heard you talk about recently, Sherry, once we're really clear about that, I don't need to revisit that as much as conditioning tries. And I can focus on my new love affair rather than everything that was wrong in my previous relationship that required the divorce.
Yeah, I love it. And, you know, it's funny when you lay it out like that, Michael, because I bet most of us can recognize that tendency even in actual human relationships or any relationship. You know, you get a new job and you love your new job, and how much of the conversation is on what was wrong with the old one. You know, leave a relationship, find a perfect relationship, and in that relationship, compare this to that. Still giving attention to where we don't want to be and what we don't want to have.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it also reminds me of you talking about the spiral. And I noticed that with karma over the years, that it's so funny that when it comes back 3 years, 5 years, 10 years later, I'm not sure why, but it feels like it's just as believable 10 years later as it is the first time. And so I need to turn to practice and get reminded that, yes, I can still drop that, and yes, that's the same old karma. And so it's just interesting for me to watch how that happens. And to sort of develop the, I don't know, confidence, resilience, standing on my own 2 feet to say, no, I'm not going to suffer over that again.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. And it and the word that is key there is recognizing it, right? Which is why, of course, you have all these tools, you know, written on the wall and post-its everywhere and gazillion recordings so that we don't get lulled into not recognizing it when it comes around again.
Yes, yes. And the other thing I saw just as I was sharing that is that there seems to be a belief that somehow I should be able to do this on my own by now, as if I shouldn't need sangha or practice or. But yet, it's kind of it's a blessing in disguise because it turns me back to practice and back to sangha and the guide to drop it once again. So
Well, once you get that, once you get that, once you see that, it does. But, of course, I've talked to thousands of people over the years who really believe that, and it'll keep them stuck forever because they don't realize that that's just a way for ego to keep a person isolated. And as long as they're isolated, then ego has them. So you should be able to do this on your own. And when we're caught in a lie like that, it doesn't occur to us to say, why? Why? Who says? You know, where is that written? Nobody's ever said that. That could be a clue that it might not be true.
Yes, yes, yeah. So you're saying, to see that as the lie it is, that I should be able to do this on my own.
Right, right, yeah. And as soon as we see it, then we realize that, right, that's ego trying to isolate me so that my only friend will be it. Okay, well, that's, no, I don't want to do that. These other friends are better friends than that, and so I'm going to go with them. I mean, it's just in nowhere. I think I can make that statement. Nowhere has anybody that we would ever want to listen to, I mean, I'm sure somebody said it somewhere, nobody, you know, the Buddha didn't say it, Jesus didn't say it, nobody says that. So that can be a big clue for us that it's not true.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Michael. And that really is our quote, right, Sherry? This is a non-separate reality.
Yeah.
And so the very notion that we do anything on our own is absurd.
Yes, yeah. And then, yeah, that it becomes part of a personal dogma, right, an mm-hmm. ego dogma. If you're the right person, you can do everything on your own. Well, if you're completely egocentric mm-hmm. and deluded, you can.
Well, it's the ultimate ego position of me against the world, me outside the world. I mean, every position is ego. And that is the ultimate ego position, that I'm somehow outside everything and I'm self-sufficient.
Yeah.
Literally, not in the terms of self-sufficiency, but self-sufficient.
Yeah. It's creepy when we get this far back from it and look at it. The egocentricity of it is really staggering.
Totally staggering. And as Michael says, it takes a repeated return to presence and an acknowledgement of non-separation not to forget that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi,
this is who?
Hello?
Hello, this is Tom in Texas.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hi.
We have this little pattern going where we hear part of what somebody says and then they disappear. So there you are.
Right. Well, I'm here now, so basically calling, like many people, to thank Sangha and to thank everyone involved in this Project Joy year. It has been an incredible experience, and Sherry, I wanted to thank you for the second response in the email class, which basically was, we're here for you. And it really hit home that we're not alone. So sometimes ego will take the fact that I'm in Texas or one of the other callers is in London or Alaska or wherever we are. And it feels sometimes like geographically we're alone, but thank you for that reminder. It changed them, changed the perspective. So it helped me. Yeah. It helped me figure that life, everything's possible. So I really didn't have anything specific to say except for how grateful I am that this practice is available and that I've had a situation come up at work that is identical to one that 3 years ago that literally caused me to take a Xanax. I was so anxious. And that exact same situation has come up again, and it's not ego tried but failed. I'm totally calm and at peace about it. And it's amazing. And in relationships, I can see, I call them low-hanging fruit now because it's so easy to see when ego is in control and dropping that and being here has changed everything in life. So nothing specific except for just a call to say I'm so grateful. And
well, to make my day.
That's one more thing, Sherry, to make your day. The nagging has finally paid off, so I'm a recorder and listener as well. So so it works.
Oh, yes. Merry Christmas to me. Merry Christmas to me.
Yes. Yeah. Keep it up.
Isn't it the best? Isn't it just the best? It took me how many years? Well, in the past, when that guy got anxious, you know, he had nowhere to go. Right? He had nobody to talk to, nobody to understand it, no ability to step back, no nothing, right? So taking a pill, because that was his only way of coping with what felt like an intolerable situation. Now he's got all kinds of support.
That's beautiful. Thank you.
It really is. Thank you, Tom. I so appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Tom. Well, Sherry, we have time for one more caller, so here we go.
All right.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Okay. Hello?
Golly gee. Somebody there?
I guess not. Well, let me try another one. Here we go. Right. Next colleague. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey.
Hello?
Oh, hello.
There you are.
Hi. Oh, my goodness. Hi. Hi, it's Wendy. Hi, Sherry. Hi, Tom. Hi. Sorry. Ego has kept. This is Jeannie in Berkeley. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. Did you say Julie?
Jeannie. Like I dream of.
Oh, I dream of Jeannie. Okay, got it. All right, so you have been talked into not joining us on the air. Is that the case?
I'm sorry, say that again? I couldn't hear you.
Were you talked into not being in the queue for a while?
Oh. It's been early 2000s since I've been listening and participating in my classes, and ego's kept me in from calling into the radio show since 16 years, and this is the first day, so I am just, this is amazing.
Welcome.
I am so, and I'm so happy. But just noticing the fear that has come in and just keeping my, letting me stay on the call while I'm holding, and then the feeling of self-care that and warmth and love just when I actually just let all that go, and how I love that I'm taking care of myself by calling in. and not worrying about what to say. And
boy, you can really see what Michael was talking about in particular, right? That how ego wants to isolate us. And so
Yes. Even
though you were participating, it was keeping you enough on the fringes that you never really had that feeling that you're describing now of just all in. You're completely here, part of everything.
Right. Yes. And maybe, you know, ego tells me that I have the strongest ego. But I just got lucky and have the worst ego in the world. That's what it tells me. And there's no way I can overcome it. And actually, look, it's just so not true.
Yeah, it's just that's just nonsense, isn't it?
Yeah.
Of course. And, you know, if it wants to identify itself as the worst ego in the world, well, we can be all right with that, because that's just a bigger argument to ignore it. It's not you. It doesn't have anything to do with you. So you
No.
can just drop it right there, go for a walk along the bay. Just drop it off somewhere and commit fully to your love affair with life.
Which, yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Mm-hmm. It's going to try to talk you out of it, but yes, you can.
Well, it's given me so many wonderful, this is just the perfect workshop in my life, the things going on. Just having a strong ego is a great workshop and even more reason to turn towards presence. Right.
Yeah. And I want to encourage you not to believe that lie. It's no different from every egos are garden variety. they just are. And so don't fall for that. It's no bigger, no worse, no more formidable than anybody else's ego. It's just, they're all the same. So you are bringing conscious awareness to the process. That's all that matters. Egos are all the same. And we are trying, and we are in different places along the path, seeing different things. And so this ability, this gift that you have, you know, because I don't know how it works. I don't pretend to know how it works. But you're in a place in your life now where you're choosing conscious, compassionate awareness over being in relationship with the ego. So there. You know, it's kind of like if we go back to the marriage business, you know, you can be married to a tyrant, or you can be married to a bore or a lazy so-and-so or whatever it is, but the divorce is gonna have you just as rid of whatever that was.
So say that, because I don't really understand the part about the divorce will have that be as rid of.
Well, when you divorce ego, the way we've been talking about it here,
right.
When you divorce ego and begin your love affair with life, it doesn't matter what the kind of how you would describe that ego.
Oh, I see.
It's gone. It's gone. So whether it was huge and hideous, or whether it was just, just a nagging drone. Oh, I hate to say nagging, since that's such a good quality. But just a drone, whatever it is, the quality that ego took on to identify itself in relationship to a human being, it doesn't matter. It's over. It's gone. Finished. And it may take a little while, for most of us it does, in the breakup. But that's only because of the changes that are happening in us. We're learning not to listen to the lies. We're learning to recognize what's me and what's ego, what's authenticity and what's ego. So we're going through that process. And ego will scream and carry on and threaten. And but we're in the process of ending that relationship. So it doesn't matter what it's doing. You with me?
Yes, I am. And I just realized where I heard that I had the worst ego. It was from an email class where where you had written that some people have their egos wake up in the middle of the night at 3:30 in the morning with self-hate. And that's when I thought, okay, oh, I have one of those awful ones. And it's so funny. I can see that was just a wonderful way the ego got to hijack that and make it even stronger or whatever. So that's wonderful to have that insight.
Make it personal.
And to drop that. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
That's right.
Yep. All right. Well, it's great to have you with us. Don't be a stranger. Now that you...
Thank you so much.
All right. Good. Take care. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Jeannie. Wow. And that brings us to the end of the show, Sherry. So here's our assignment for today. And then we've got a couple more till we meet on Christmas Day.
That's right. Wow.
Here it is. Often I am listening when the song is over. When asked by a monk how to enter the path to enlightenment, the master responded, "Do you hear the murmuring of that mountain stream?" When the monk replied in the affirmative, the master said, "Enter the way of Zen from there." We talk often of listening for the guidance of the still small voice, listening to the heart, being here, present and attending. When we're truly listening, is the song ever over? Today, regularly turn attention away from the incessant yammering in the head so you can listen to this year now. Record and listen.
That's what we're going to do.
That's what we're going to do.
That's the kind of people we are.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry. Deep Gacho. We'll talk to everyone on Monday. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Go happy.